This is Akashvani. In the program Money Talk, now we bring you a discussion on 8 years of goods and services tax. The participants are Shishir Sinha, economic analyst, and Balanagendran D., Akashvani correspondent.
We are going to discuss today how GST has evolved, what are its scope, how are we forecasting our economic progress with the implementation of GST. To talk all this, I am joined by an expert filled with experience, Mr. Shishir Sinha. Welcome, Mr. Sinha.
Thank you very much.
First of all, we would like to speak on the evolution. 2017, the GST has been implemented, but before that, there were discourse of implementation of GST. Could you trace us the evolution? What has happened since 2017?
During this 7 year, when we talk about GST, which subsumed 17 types of taxes, central as well as the state one, and 13 types of cess. So from a business point of view, it's a more ease of compliance because earlier you used to file a form for each of the tax. I mean, the 17 taxes, you have to fill 17 forms. Now you just have to fill one or two forms for the GST. So one, the most important thing is the ease of compliance from the business point of view. Now coming to the consumer point of view, that is the most critical part. Because earlier during the regime of central excise duty and the sales tax or VAT, there used to be tax on tax. That means since the tax levied by the central government on the production and tax levied by the state government on the sale part, that means whatsoever the price is fixed, one, the center will levy, and over of that, the state will levy. So that was a tax on tax system. Now, under the GST, what is the most important thing? You don't have to go for the tax on tax. There is no cascading impact of taxation. So from the consumer point of view, there is some kind of relief in that. The third and the most important part is we are talking about one nation, one tax, one market. Of course, there cannot be one rate. In a country like India, you cannot have a one rate of GST because of the income disparity, because of the people who are in the poorer section or who are in the richer section, they cannot pay the same kind of taxation. That's the basic theory of the taxes. But when we are talking about one nation, one market, one tax, means somebody who is going to buy a car, say in Haryana, and if he's living in Bihar, he won't have to pay more in terms of the taxes. He will have to pay the same tax whether he is buying in Bihar or in Delhi or in Haryana. Of course, there will be some additional charges because of the freight rate, but that is not something which is going to harm the consumer in a bigger way. So the three key things: one, ease of compliance for the businesses, no tax on tax for the customer, and one nation, one market, one tax. That is the key of the GST. So this is how we track the GST during last 7 years.
Could you tell us how it has brought down the average tax? That's the major point that has been highlighted across.
Okay, let us take some goods like wheat and rice. That's a very essential item for all of us. So if we take wheat and rice, if you go to the pre-GST regime, there used to be a tax, I'm just talking about the loose item, not talking about the pre-packaged or the labeled one. When we talk about the loose item, there used to be tax of something around 2.7%. Under the GST, there is no tax on the flour as well as on the rice. Of course, if you are buying, say, packaged flour or packaged rice, you have to pay 5% tax. That's something different. But for a large number of customers who go for the loose flour and the rice, they don't have to pay any tax on that. Now, take the example of electronic items. Take the example of mobile handset. Today, India is a country where almost everybody has at least one mobile handset in his or her hand. Earlier, there used to be the tax rate of 31.3%. Today, the rate is just 18% on the mobile handset. So, this is another thing. If you talk about washing machine, there is, of course, 31.3%. Now, the rate is 18%. Of course, the air conditioner, the rate is 28%. But we all know that air conditioner is something which is a kind of luxury item. So, if you take various category of goods as well as the services, you will find that the most of the goods and services tax rate has come down, and that's going to benefit the customer. So this is how the GST has brought down what we can say overall spending by an individual.
Study of the finance ministry has revealed that at least 4% of the monthly household income has come down due to the enforcement of goods and services tax. So, Mr. Sinha, by what you have been saying, apart from the average tax coming down, what are the other factors that has contributed to the reduction of household monthly income, as well as do you think that the continuance of GST would help in further stabilization, which is paramount for the middle classes of our country.
See, if a business is fixing a price of a product, and if he is paying more tax on the product, he will take the entire tax from the customer. But if he is getting the benefit of input tax credit, which is a very critical part of goods and services tax, that means all the taxes which you have already paid will be deducted from the final taxes for businesses. So if the businessman is getting the benefit but input tax credit, the tax incidence will come down for the business. And if the tax incidence for the business is coming down, that means the price of the final product, which also include the tax, may not go up. So that is one area, that is one thing which we have to keep in mind. Of course, you can say that with the changing times, the prices have gone up. All that will go up because the other cost has gone up, like wage has gone up or the land prices has gone up, bank interest rate has gone up. That's a different thing. But if you talk about specifically about the tax, if the tax incidence is low, then the final product will also not be very costly. And that is one thing which businesses would like to pass it on to the consumer, because the businesses is not going to bear tax from his or her own pocket.
When we speak about business, I am hereby to ask you on some particular sectors where GST has played a role by benefiting them. One of them is MSME, which is the backbone of our economic progress, and second one is logistics. So first we talk about the MSME, where GST rollout has played a pivotal role. Could you highlight those things, especially talking about the composition scheme as well as what are the benefits that the MSME has received?
There are two parts to that. One, if you see the threshold of mandatory registration. So in most of the states, the threshold is 40 lakh for goods and 20 lakh for services. And in some states, it is 20 lakh for goods and 10 lakhs for the services. So if you see this kind of threshold, that many of the smaller businesses may not be required to go for the GST registration. Still, if they want to go for their registration just for the sake of the business, because many of the large businesses ask for GSTN, so small businesses will go for registration. Now, getting a registration is not a very difficult thing. It's a completely online thing. And if you are not falling into any kind of risk profile, if your profile is not having any kind of risk, then you may not have to go for more and more rigorous check. So that is, getting the registration is not a very difficult thing. Number two, you talked about composition scheme. Under the composition scheme, what is the threshold? 1.5 crore. If the annual business income is 1.5 crore, you can opt for composition scheme. Under the composition scheme, you have to file return just once in 3 months. Then the rate of tax will be lesser. And number three, you cannot collect tax from the customer because you just have to pay a minimal tax, which is 1% and the 5%. So all these things are going to help the smaller businesses to be part of this GST. And please remember, when a small business or when a medium-sized business or when even a tiny or the micro units are coming into GST fold, that means we are seeing more and more formalization of economy. On the one hand, when we have the more and more formalization of the economy, we will have more clearer picture of the economy. And at the same time, these business units will be able to get, say, loan from the organized sector if they are GST compliant, if they are GST registered. That will also help them to access various sources, especially the finance market, in a better way.
In the 2020 to 2021, the revenue collection was around 11.3 lakh crores with an average monthly collection of 0.95 lakh crores. But in 2023 and 24 fiscal, it was impressive of 20.18 lakh crores. So what does it imply? Is it implies that the people getting more money in their pockets because of the rollout of the GST and less complex indirect taxes? Or is there any other factors that are in addition to this?
The most important thing is the compliance. I mean, now evading the tax is not going to benefit. If you are paying the tax in an honest manner, that is going to help you in a bigger way. And that is the sense businesses are getting. So that is why we are seeing the compliance has gone up. Of course, the consumption has also gone up, but because of the higher compliance coupled with the consumption, we are seeing a very good growth in the GST revenue. You rightly mentioned about 20 lakh crore plus, which we collected during fiscal year 24, and average monthly collection was 1.68 lakh crore. And this year, during the first quarter, between April and June, the average monthly collection is 1,85,000. And in the month of April, the all-time high collection was 2,10,000 rupees. So it is not just because of the consumption alone, it is one of the key factors is the compliance. Businesses are ready to pay the tax provided they are getting good return in terms of government support and in terms of support from various institutions.
Now, I would like to ask you about the logistics, which is one of the primary concerns of the manufacturing sector of this country as well as the business entities. How this rollout of GST has helped in ease of logistics in the country, and how are we seeing the improvement?
If you talk about the logistic cost, at this moment, our target is to bring it down to the single digit. Some time back, we had 14% logistic cost on the total manufacturing cost, if you can take the number. So if we have to bring it down to the single digit, you need a more streamlined structure. Whether we talk about railway, whether we talk about road, whether we talk about waterways, whether we talk about airways, we need more and more streamlined system and also a strong coordination between them. GST is providing that kind of ecosystem for all the means of logistics to come on one platform and help the businesses to take their final goods to the market and bring the inputs to the factories. So, each and every sector, they are coordinated. Take the example of e-way bill. If e-way bill is generated, it is very easy to identify where the goods are going, who are carrying, what kind of tax has been paid on that. So all these things are also helping the logistics sector in a bigger way. Of course, there is one big challenge is there, and that is the cost of the fuel. And since the petrol and diesel, GST has not been able to be imposed on petrol, diesel, natural gas, crude oil, and the aviation turbine fuel. So that is affecting in a very smaller way. But overall, if you take the 70%, 80% thing, because of the better coordination and because of the better ecosystem, the logistic cost, we are able to bring it down. That is going to help the industry as well as the manufacturers.
While we talk about sectoral development and the benefits for the common man, we have to speak about the most interesting topic at present when we speak about GST, that is rate rationalization. So, could you tell us the essentialities of this rate rationalization?
A group of ministers is considering various options for rate rationalization. And at this moment, Bihar Deputy Chief Minister Samrat Chaudhary, he is the convener of 7 members committee. Now, why we need rate rationalization? At this moment, we have 4 special rate and 4 general rate. That is the 5, 12, 18 and 28. Now, the big question is, do we really need 4 rates? 5, 12, 18 and 28. There is a lot of discussion that can we merge 5 and 12 and bring it down to 8%? Can we merge 12 and 18 and think of, 15% rate? If we go for lesser number of rate, it is certainly going to help the business as well as the consumer. Now, this is not a very simple call. This is not something a very economic call. It's a more a political call. So we hope and we understand that in next 2 to 3 years, since we are seeing some kind of a stabilization in GST collection, GST revenue is stabilizing. So some more decisions will be taken, and within next 2 to 3 years, we will see the number of rates coming down to, say, 2 or 3.
When we speak about any policy decision, always needs to keep the period intact. That means the evolution, the much it evolves. So what do you think that the GST has to undertake so that it can stick with the period? What are the concerns that yet to be addressed or to be addressed?
I think at this moment, the most important agenda or most important thing which we have to keep in mind is the GST rate rationalization. And of course, we are seeing a lot of fraudulent activities are taking place in the GST. We are expecting that after this GST Council recommendation of biometric-based Aadhaar identification of fresh assessees or the fresh applicant who are in the high-risk profile, we will be able to curb the fraudulent activities in the GST. At the same time, we also have to think about how this compliance in terms of filling the form, whether we are talking about GSTR 3B or GSTR 1 or GSTR 1A or any other form or even the annual form, how to make it more and more simpler so that businesses should come forward in a bigger number.
Mr. Sinha, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on 8 years of goods and services tax. The participants were Shishir Sinha, economic analyst, and Bala Nagendran D, Akashwani correspondent. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.